Lord, do I have that on them? I think I do. Well, if you have your Bibles there, if you turn with me to a real familiar portion of Scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. While you're finding that, let me tell you, the driving factor and motivation that's been on my mind and my heart for the last couple of months leading for this message is our condition of our world is the way it's been happening, all the tragedies that's happening, that thing in Uvalde, just senseless, unheard of thing, and just so many things are happening that this world is coming to, and we know the Bible, the Lord tells us in these days it's going to be. But the thing I'm afraid of as a Christian for me, I'm talking about me, but if it affects me, I know it affects everybody. You know, and I look at my, I don't want to get paralyzed with saying why. I don't want to say why. Why is this happening? Why was this allowed? Why is this happening? Because I started thinking about it. When you say why, it's like you're saying, to me, it feels like I'm saying, God, I don't have confidence that you know what's going on. I'm saying why, so God, you must not have control. You know what I mean? If I'm so paralyzed with why is all this happen? Why? Okay. So I want to use this as a text verse, and I want to bring you a lesson that I've entitled "Don't Say Why, Say What." Don't say why, but say what. And I think so you'll see what I mean here. Getting at that. The verse that we all know, probably most of us could quote it, but it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I want to use two methods in that. I want to take a Bible example of somebody who said, He faced many things, but he said what, not why. And so if you go with me, and we're going to go real quick now. We're going to go get ready, put on your listening ears and rapid. We're going to go through some verses, but we're going to do a quick look at the life of Joseph in the Bible. So Genesis chapter 37, Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to just look real quick here just do a quick thing of Joseph. And I hope you'll see that Joseph figured out that, hey, the question to ask God was what, not why. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 and 4, we'll start with, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And then Israel had sent Joseph to check on his brothers. They were keeping sheep. So we're going to jump down to verse number 18. It says, and when they saw him, that's the brethren seeing Joseph, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. In verse 25, we'll go to 25, it says, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and we can steal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then if you hop down to 36, verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Pharaoh, an officer of Pharaoh, and a captain, they sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and captain of the guard. So right there, we're seeing Joseph. He's been faced with this situation that of no making of its own. You know, his brothers have now taken him and sold him off to the Israelites. He went down to Egypt, and very easily he could be captured. And with why? You know, why could this be, I think, consuming him? Why is this happening? But instead, as we watch here, we don't see the word, but by the fact of what happens here, I believe Joseph is saying what? God, what can I do? How can you use me? What can I do to represent you? You know about this situation, so what? What can I do? I'm going to trust you to know what's right, and so show me the what, okay? And so then we go on through here, and we see go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, we'll start in verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. So you see, Joseph is in this Egyptian's house, Potiphar, the captain of the guard, and it says God's Potiphar, a lost, ungodly man, he sees that God is blessing Joseph, doesn't he? And so, Joseph, by saying what? God, how can you use me? God is showing him, and God is making a difference even in the household of this ungodly man here. God is using Joseph to make that difference. And I just say that Joseph could never be used to that point if he'd had himself just totally involved in why. If he'd just been solely like, God, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't be down here. Why? If he'd been engrossed in why, I don't think he'd be led to there. You know, I believe he's saying what. And then Potiphar's wife, she tried to get Joseph to lie with her, but he refused. It was a righteous man. I mean, he refused. But Genesis 39 and verse 19 and 20, 39, 19 and 20, tells us what happens. It says, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, when she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did the servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. So once again, now that he's thrown into prison for something that he didn't do here, Potiphar's wife has falsely accused him of, and now then Potiphar has thrown him into the prison. But again, we don't see anything here about him saying why. But instead, look what happens quickly here when he gets into the prison. He must be saying what, in my opinion. He must be saying, God, how are you going to use me? What's going to happen? Because here's what happened. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. So now Joseph is this prisoner down here, but he's really in charge of the prisoners. You know, he's really just getting the prison keeper has just said, put everything in his hand. And I believe it. I'm watching this. He's following a trail of saying what? He's not getting captured in saying why. Which, you know, why is these happening here? Well, we got to move on forward here. We got to fast forward for a lot really here, but. Later on here now in Genesis, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he has these dreams. He dreams two major dreams that really trouble him. It really troubles him. So he gets his magicians, he gets his soothsayers, he gets his wise people. He tries to find somebody to tell him the meaning of these dreams, and nobody's able to. Well, his chief butler finally remembers something that happened that we don't have time to go over, of course. It'd take it forever, many a night, son. But his chief butler says, oh, Pharaoh, I remember now when you were mad at me and had me in prison back there, a man named Joseph that's in your prison, a Hebrew, a man that serves the living God here, he answered a dream, me, and he got the interpretation of it. So Pharaoh calls for Joseph to come, to come out of the prison, to stand before him. And he tells Joseph the dream, Joseph prays to God, gets that interpretation that's needed, you know, to Pharaoh, and he tells Pharaoh the dreams. Well, then let's see what happens here then. It's the next verse is Genesis 41. We're going in verse 39. Genesis 41, and then verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so deceit and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." So now, Joseph finds himself, you know, in this position of being second in charge over Egypt. Much more is going to happen, but that's what, so tonight we're going to once again hit the fast forward button. Okay, move it forward, and we're going to hit forward, and so you can be fine in Genesis chapter 50, all the way to Genesis chapter 50. But Israel, Joseph's dad, and his brethren, because of this big famine that was in that was happening. They had went to Egypt. They had went to Egypt with Joseph being in the position he was in. He was able to sustain them and provide them food and take care of them. And they had went down to Egypt to be with Joseph. Well, now we come to a time when Israel now has died. And his brothers now are called to come stand before Joseph. And his brothers are thinking, "Oh my, now then the reckoning day has come." You know, the day has come that now what we did to Joseph years ago, when we ripped off that coat of many colors and threw him in that pit, and then we sold him off to slavery. They said, "Man, it's about to hit the fan." Okay, and so anyway, we're going to read here in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. It says, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know what I see here? Now look at that. I see Joseph finding out the why. I think he's finding out why things had happened to him. But you know how he found out why? He had to do what first? He had to dwell on what to finally get the answer to why. If he had dwelled on why, if he had paralyzed himself in the very beginning, what we just read, if he had paralyzed himself with why this is not right, why is this happening to me, why? If he had done that, he had never wound up here. God would have had to use somebody else. He could have never made it here. He made it here by saying what? What can I do, God, in this situation? How can you use me in whatever situation I'm in? God, here's what I'm saying in my mind. I'm going to have confidence in you. I'm going to trust you to know what's right. And I'm going to have confidence in you, God. And I'm going to say what? See what I, you know that? And so that's what Joseph did. Now, I want to show you, I want to introduce you to a modern day Joseph. Somebody that God placed in my life, that he placed in my life, okay? This man right here, I have one sister, 2 years older than me, and she was married to this man for 34 years. He went home to be with the Lord in, he went home to be with the Lord on November the 3rd, 2020, when he went up to heaven. But this is my brother-in-law. His name is Rick Satoris. And that's it for 34 years, like I say. Well, I want to show you how he was like a modern-day Joseph to me. He's got a testimony that he's going to share. It's about just a little under 4 minutes long. Just a little bit under 4 minutes long. But I encourage you, challenge you to listen to this testimony. It's a powerful testimony. It really is. And I'm glad I'm going to be sharing it here today. And my sister's glad to. I talked to her about this. She's so excited, too, about it, you know. But let's listen to the testimony of Rick Satoris, okay?
My name is Rick Satoris. I spent 23 years as a firefighter in the Air Force, 17 years after that as in the civilian sector. I spent most of my adult life being very, very active, hunting, fishing, camping, golf, swimming. So the onset of multiple sclerosis, which is an autoimmune disease, whereby my body attacks the protective coating around your spinal cord, the muscle, and it progressed from just dropping things to dropping me. I started falling. The legs just gave out. So in about 18 months, I went from walking to being completely wound up in a wheelchair. So what's the first question you ask yourself? Lord, why me? God answered that question. Why not you? What makes you so special that you can avoid the human condition? I gotta tell you, that took the wind out of my sails. But I understood. Jesus was not allowed to forego the human condition, and why should I? And he's my example for life. The joy in all of this is how to get through it. Number one, I began a communication with Jesus that was with vigor. I mean, like all day talking to God. And more listening to what he had to say. The next thing was I absorbed myself in gospel music. I like quartets. So I just immersed myself in those every day, all day long. The other is you surround yourself with Christians. You draw strength from them. They draw strength from you. And I get in the hospital about twice a year, and yes, I can feel it when people are praying for me. There is a lightness to my spirit when people pray that helps in the healing. It helps in smiling day to day. It helps at being a witness for Jesus when other people are praying for you and, of course, praying back for them. So the support group that I have in this small group has been amazing. But learning to walk closer with Jesus has really been the best thing that's happened out of this. As long as I feel like Peter on the lake, as long as I've got my eyes on Jesus, I can walk right along. Things are not a problem. But as soon as I take my eyes off of him, there's pain and there's discomfort and there's frustrations. And then I have to give myself a pity party about once a week for a few minutes. And then after that, it's, all right, Jesus, let's go. And I listen, I absorb, and I let my master lead me through each and every day. Yeah, there's problems. Not everyone are happy. But that's the purpose that we continue to strive.
That video there was taken about 2.5-3 years before he graduated to heaven. Now I want to show you a candid little thing. This little shot was taken of him about 2 months before he graduated home. He didn't know it was taken. His granddaughter and my sister, his wife, they conspired to do the little plot or whatever, and took this little video. And the whole thing is about 4.5 minutes long. We took 25 seconds. We took 25 seconds out of this, and I want you to see this, don't you? But 25 seconds, like I said, it's about 2 months before he's at this. What you're about to hear. At this point, he has no use of his arms. He's having to use his eyes to make the computer. The computer does stuff by his eyes. It's a program to his eyes, and he's able to do everything, with his eyes, because he can't use his hands, he can't use his feet, the muscle, nothing. Everything's gone. Okay. But look at this.
Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord and Master. Who can do anything? Nobody but my Lord.
You know, really when I see that, I see a man at total peace with his situation. Total peace. I see a man, I think, knowing the why. But how did he get there? By asking what? He didn't get there by dwelling on why. If he had dwelled on why, he would have been paralyzed. You know it? And I think we're facing some hard times in our nation. As a children's church pastor for 40 years now, I don't know what to say to kids about some stuff going on now. I don't know. I don't, you know. And so I had to say, Lord, what? What can I do? What can I do in this situation? I want to strive. I really do. I want to strive. If you go with me, we close to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Thinking about this thought, don't say why, say what. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I want to strive to be a say what Christian, not a say why one. That's what I want to do. I want to strive with all my heart. I want to strive to be a say what Christian. I think Joseph is a good biblical example of that. And I think, that's somebody the Lord placed in my life, Rick and stuff, but in everybody's lives. You can think of somebody I know, or people in other situations. Be a say what Christian, not a say why. But
all right, amen. Thank you, Brother Stacy. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Don't forget to continue to pray for our kids. Be here in your place on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school. All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Joe.